God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast.
Hi.
David here today. Hey, how's it going? We're going to start like this. David here with Justin, Randy, Amanda. How you guys doing?
Good.
Fabulous. Thank you.
I am so cracked out on sugar right now. Oh, my God. I just had a couple of Ghostbusters donuts from Krispy Kreme. And let me tell you, I'm going to hit my sugar low right around the end of this podcast, but you're going to have your hands full dealing with me for the next hour or so. Sorry in advance.
Let's go fast.
I love finicky, testy Randy, because we're going to push all your buttons today. Now, before we get started in the podcast, I wanted to thank two loyal listeners from last week who kept us on our toes and fact-checked us and really just pointed out to the world how full of shit we all are, because we had a nice follower, KitKat22, pointed out that when we were talking about Deadpool last week, we accidentally said Marvel, and
it's you.
And it wasn't like one. It was a lot.
I listened to the tape, and it was you.
it was, and I listened to it, and I just.
None of us corrected you, though, so right. We're all equally guilty.
I never listen when we talk about comics.
I know.
It's like we went down the road like one step, and then like I was on that path, and my brain just would not switch back to Fox. So thank you, KitKat22, for being such a loyal listener and having the guts to call us out because no one else did, and so you're pretty cool. And then also we had another listener, Craig Alback.
Craig from what? PA.
Yeah, Craig from PA. And he helped us follow up on a story we did about James Spader, and he said he saw an interview with Entertainment Weekly where Spader said he was going to do mocap for motion capture for Ultron. And I think that's awesome because Spader's awesome and motion capture's awesome, and it can be nothing but good things. So thank you, too, for being such loyal listeners and hopefully spreading the word of us ignorant idiots who don't know what we're talking about.
Since last week's podcast and all this talk of James Spader, I decided I was going to give The Blacklist a try. And the first season is on Netflix right now. And I am 20 and a half episodes through the 22-episode season, and this is just since last week's podcast. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like every day I try to have it on in the background, watch an episode or two. Oh, my God.
I don't like her husband's Harry Potter glasses.
Yeah, I wasn't really a fan of that either, but last week I think you made the comment something to the effect that James Spader just chews up the screen. Mm-hmm. You are so fucking right. He is freaking amazing in that show. Love it. Mm.
Nice. So check it out.
Yeah.
But, especially when he kills people.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So onto the show. Hey, Dustin, we got some news on the Walking Dead companion show, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we did. They released some character sheets, some deets on what we can expect from this companion series. The series itself was announced last year, I believe. And so it was going to be like this whole thing where, you know, it's in the same universe as The Walking Dead show that we currently watch, but it's going to be different characters. And it's quite possible that these characters will never come in contact with each other. And the fine folks over at TV Line actually got their hands on the character descriptions for the main characters that will be in the pilot. And right off the bat, Dave, I appreciate you for leaving this Andrea character last, because if I would have read that first, I probably would have stopped reading. But there is another Andrea character, and I'm already ready to cancel this show before it even starts, just because I hate that name forever and all eternity now. But you had said that it was probably going to be a family-oriented show. It's going to take place when like the carnage starts, kind of right as we see the mayhem ensue, probably before and kind of as it's going on, maybe kind of a back and forth type of deal. But it should be interesting, you know. We got a father and son, then we got a single mom with two kids, and then this Andrea broad. That's mainly it, right?
No.
Right.
Another yeah. one.
That's the crux of it. Yeah. And they haven't come out and said, you know, that it's going to be, you know, pre stuff hits the fan, but just by reading the descriptions, I kind of got the vibe that, you know, there's some semblance of society, you know, based on, like, you know, the angsty teen descriptions and stuff like that.
I kind of liked how the other show worked in that the carnage had already happened. It wasn't until the second season that we got to see, you know, what was Rick's wife's name?
Lori.
Lori and Shane kind of fleeing, you know, and running. That was kind of neat. I liked seeing it way after the fact.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a way for them to, like, set the series apart. Like instead of just being this, like, downer of an escape tale, you know, almost give us, like, hope. Like, oh, maybe they'll stop the apocalypse.
But we already know what happens.
I know, but something in our brains, like, every time you watch, even though when you know how a movie ends, don't sometimes you just, like, wish maybe this time it'll come out different?
Right.
Or is that just me being crazy?
And there's also room for way more characters, too, just because there's a lot happening. And especially if it's all happening, when it's like a patient zero kind of deal, you know, there's going to be packed hospitals and police stations and crazy incidences happen on the radio, things of that nature. Should be interesting. I think it's going to be more expensive. I think this should.
Right, and I think that's why they waited for this companion series, because, I mean, The Walking Dead is the highest rated drama on TV, you know, and even over, like, the network shows. And so AMC's probably like, here's a blank check. Make what you want to make.
Yeah.
Show destruction on a massive scale.
Interesting. Some of these character descriptions I'm not too fond of. Like
who?
The son, Cody Cabrera.
Uh-huh.
So his dad is Sean Cabrera, Latino male in his early 40s. Sean is a good man trying to do right by everyone in his life. Sounds a little familiar. And then Cody Cabrera, who's his son, he's a rebellious teenager. Known as the angriest kid in town. That sounds like a fun watch.
That's the one I like the most. Known as the angriest kid in town.
I think that kid's going to get on my goddang nerves. I mean, and that's just, you know, a teenager being a teenager, and that's fine and dandy. I just don't want to watch it for an hour, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that that's how kids are, but maybe he'll get eaten in the first episode. That's the cool thing about shows like this, is when the character isn't liked, it's easy to kill off.
It's like, later.
Mm. But what is it? Maybe we'll see this show sometime in 2015. Do you think it'll be like a little, like a half season type of thing, where it's like maybe 8 episodes and we get to see it over the summer or something?
Yeah, I was hoping that's what they would do, is that they would, because, you know, the way The Walking Dead pre-summer, they have this during the summer, and then they have the regular Walking Dead, you know, October like they normally air it. So, yeah, I bet they do something like a summer.
How much do you want to bet?
Like, all the nickels in my hand right now.
Oh, all right. How many you got?
Could be none. Could be a million.
Oh, yeah. You got big hands, but you can't hold that many nickels. Nickels are a large coin for some reason.
I could probably hold, like, $11 worth of nickels in my hand.
I think that the higher the value, the larger the coin should be.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how dimes are small. They're like the old...
Just get rid of them.
The old man coin.
Well, speaking of old men, what's Ridley Scott up to?
Writing.
That's a segue.
Writing and directing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Writing and directing what, Justin?
Oh, let's see. We got... Well, who cares what he's doing right now? I'll tell you what he's not doing. And that's Blade Runner 2 and Prometheus 2 right this second. I know everyone wants to see Blade Runner 2, but Harrison Ford is a cripple now. He can't really walk. He's got the crutches, and in the future, they don't use crutches, they just shoot you, so they can't do the show just yet. But Blade Runner 2, the script is done. Just waiting on another movie. What is it called? Like, all the King Midas...
Right,
over
right now, he's doing Exodus, Gods and Men with Christian Bale and Joel Egerton.
There you go. That's probably going to flop.
And Sigourney Weaver.
I saw the trailer for that. It looks really weird.
Yeah, oh, I'm not really feeling it.
He's either going to make $1 billion or $0. Doesn't look like something that's going to be in the middle.
I'm going to go with zero.
What's the name of the guy who plays Ramses?
Joel Egerton.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really weird how Christian Bale looks normal, but Ramses is all, like, Egyptian and shit.
Yeah, but Moses is like Ramses is like the king, and so he's got all that pharaoh action.
I guess so.
Yeah, Moses was a Jew.
I wasn't going to go full Jew, but yeah, he's a Jew.
Wow.
Well, is that offensive?
His makeup just freaks me out a little bit.
Oh. Yeah. Got a lot of sun.
All those like Egyptian pharaohs. That's funny.
Yeah. What can you do? So yeah. So actually, Mr. Scott met with Harrison Ford the night before the accident, which is kind of interesting.
Dun dun dun. Mm-hmm.
So basically, Harrison Ford signed something, and then he wanted to renege on the deal, so he broke his leg on purpose.
He sent like some loan shark. He borrowed money from him, and then Scott sent the loan shark out after him.
The Kerrigan crew.
Break your leg.
That's so shady. Oh, jeez. And then also with the freaking Prometheus there, this was kind of a... This movie didn't sit well with a lot of people. It was alien, but not really. And then at the last minute, they threw in a xenomorph. It was basically the set of the fucking first Alien movie, but they decided not to be on the same planet, so that kind of confused things. What is that, like LV-426?
Yeah.
But basically recreate everything that we've ever seen from Alien and then have it be on some random planet. Stupid. Anyway, really Scott thinks that people are tired of the xenomorph and that he doesn't think it's going to be in. And that we need to evolve the show. And go a different route. And he thinks that the engineers are a step in that direction. Goodbye, that. I'm a little bit more scared of a menacing alien over some shiny white giant. I don't know.
Well, when I watch my alien movies, what I think most is, you know what would make this movie better? If the alien wasn't there. That's just me. and I think Prometheus was a victim of its own marketing. I think it was just marketed poorly. I don't think the Fox understood how to market it. Like, they didn't know if they should market it as an alien movie or not an alien movie, and so they kind of did it as both. Mm-hmm. And they had all those viral campaigns with Fassbender as David, you know, hinting at his android lineage. So.
Yeah, and the whole Weyland-Yutani Corporation and all that stuff. I think it was at the time, but the Japanese corporation hasn't taken over yet.
Yeah.
That was big in the 80s, Japanese.
Taking over shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it back. Coins in a fountain like we're Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What can you do? So yeah, that's all I got. Blade Runner. It will happen. It's just going to be a ways. I like how your subtle remark at the end here, where you, you crack me up. Because I feel like you're saying he needs to do these before he dies. You say xenomorphs or no xenomorphs. Let's hope that they lock that script in soon enough. And Scott considers passing directorial duties over to someone else, because if that Martian and Blade Runner 2 really do come first, such a big gap between Prometheus and the sequel could become a problem in a number of respects.
And I'm just pointing out that
referring to his mortality.
No, I'm saying that Prometheus was received at best. You could say it was received lukewarmly. And if you have like a lukewarm film and then you have like a 12-year gap in between films, you know, it's not going to happen. I want Prometheus 2 to happen. And
you didn't even see
Prometheus. Right. Yeah. But I like the idea of Prometheus. Prometheus is like the movie like I keep intending to watch, but don't. Mm-hmm.
You don't like scary movies. It's scary, Dave.
Is it scary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe.
It's really.
Maybe I don't want Prometheus 2. I like scary movies.
I know.
I didn't see the whole thing, but I didn't think it was scary.
No.
I think Justin's just trying to.
I think Amanda's trying to trick you. Me.
Scary for Dave.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a wuss.
People are locked in a spaceship with eggs.
I mean, I guess if you're afraid of being locked in a spaceship with eggs, yeah.
Oh my god, that's my fear.
It's basically an Easter movie.
It's like Hop, the sequel.
I'm pretty sure I only saw the last 30 minutes of the movie.
It's a good point to jump in on.
Yeah. It's all good.
So yeah. I totally missed the abortion scene, I guess.
Yeah, that's hard to watch.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Does that need to be followed by a spoiler alert?
No.
Okay.
She just has She has a monster in her tummy, and she wants to remove it.
No, I thought that was well known that there's a gruesome abortion scene.
There was. There was.
Well, speaking of gruesome abortion scenes, What do you guys think about movies that split their finale into two parts, like Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows, Twilight, Breaking Dawn, you know, freaking Hunger Games, Mockingjay? Do you guys like that? You like that, Justin?
I'm okay with it as long as the second movie comes out with in less than a calendar year, preferably somewhere around a 6 to 8 month mark, like Matrix or Harry Potter even. That was, what, November and July? That's not so bad. I'm okay with that.
You cool with that?
Huh. I'm only okay with it if, like, it really does serve the story better. I'm not totally sure it's going to serve Mockingjay. Or not Mockingjay. Wait, yeah, Mockingjay?
Yeah, Mockingjay.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure that it needed to be two movies, but I guess we'll find out.
Right. Well, Mockingjay is weird in that it has that real definitive middle part to where the story really shifts, like, focus. And I could see a real, you know, if Francis Lawrence is the director that we think he is, he could really do something great and have Mockingjay 1 and Mockingjay 2 be really different movies, but tell a combined story, kind of like how Tarantino did with Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not obviously as gruesome, but...
Incidentally, why do you ask?
Well, I ask because Marvel is, according to some rumors, is toying with the idea of splitting the Avengers 3 into two movies.
What?
And it's kind of weird because it's not like the Avengers are like have like a finite number of movies they can do. And so it's not like this is like the final Avenger movie and we want to stretch into two movies. I don't understand why they wouldn't just call it like Avengers 3 and Avengers 4.
Right, because when you're doing it, when you're adapting a book, it would make sense that you have to split the content of the book and say, you know, such and such part 1 and 2. But when it's just a series of cinematic sequels that is really based on no source material, it makes no sense to have Avengers 3 part 1 and part 2. That's stupid. And I didn't interject my opinion earlier, but I'll say it now because I think it's especially true now. Films that do that, to me, seem like a cash grab.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was going to be my question to you, Randy.
I think, let's consider, it does seem weird. I definitely agree with that. But let's also consider that these big budget superhero movies are getting longer and longer.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're, I mean, on the one hand, I sort of feel like it demonstrates a weak script that they can't manage to get it into one film.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these superhero movies are getting really long.
Right.
Just in general. So it does make some sense to me that they would decide to just split it into two.
Yeah, and to finish the whole rumor out was the way they would split it would be that Avengers 3 would be the battle with Thanos. Mm-hmm. And the first Avengers 3, Avengers 3 Part 1, as I'm calling it, would be a standard Avengers movie where Thanos tries to take over the world, the Avengers thwart him and kind of push him back into space. And the second Avengers movie would focus on a super mashup of the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy defeating Thanos in space. The reason this rumor's
kind of... Obama closed space.
Yeah, he did.
What?
The reason that this rumor's kind of growing in popularity is that Marvel had unveiled all of these release dates. And when they revealed May 18th, 2018, everyone just assumed that was going to be Avengers 3. But Marvel came out a couple weeks ago and unveiled May 18th, 2017 as well. And so now what people are thinking is that the Avengers is going to have a movie on May 18th in consecutive years. And so they'd be 1 year apart. And so kind of the question I had was, we talked about, you know, stories that had finite amounts, you know, to where Deathly Hallows, you know, I didn't particularly care that they split into two movies. I think that it sacrificed the first Deathly Hallows. I think the first Deathly Hallows is not a very good movie because all the cool stuff happens in part two.
Right.
I mean, that's fair. And saying it's not a good Harry Potter movie, it's not a huge insult. I mean, it's still better than a lot of other movies, but I believe it could have been one great movie or one so-so and one really good movie. But it didn't matter for Warner Brothers because, you know, they don't have to make any more Harry Potter movies. They don't need to maintain my loyalty to the franchise because the franchise is over. To where with Avengers 3, if they split Avengers 3 into two stories and, you know, they Peter Jackson it to where instead of being one good story, it becomes two
amazing stories.
Yeah, not even close. I think that could really hurt their brand, and it's almost like they're. I don't want to say they're afraid of what DC's got coming, but it almost feels, you know, like they're reacting to something that they either think DC is going to do or the DC is going to do. So I don't know. What do you think about that, Justin? Does that make sense, or am I just stupid?
I think it makes sense, but at the same time, I think it would be cooler if they announced that Avengers 3 and Avengers 4 were being shot back to back, as opposed to Avengers 3 being split into two movies.
Wait. So have they said that it's being split, or that's just
a
rumor?
No? It's just
commenting
it's just
on rumor and speculation.
Okay, sorry. So
it's a rumor from people who have inside information from Marvel.
David
supposedly
did this rumor.
I did. I
it
just
all
made
starts
it.
Starts somewhere.
God, David.
He is the TMZ of the Geek Legacy.
Are you freaking us all out?
Just willy nilly make shit up. I see why. I don't know why they wouldn't do what you just said, Justin, and just say, you know, we want to crank out two Avenger movies fast because we know 2018 is going to be Justice League, and we know that shortly after that there's going to be Man of Steel 2, and we want to combat that with our heavy hitter Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. So 2017 would be Guardians of the Galaxy, 2018 would be Avengers, 2019 would be Galaxy and Avengers. It would be three consecutive summers of what people want to see. And that would coincide with Justice League, Man of Steel 2, and a standalone Batman movie.
Right.
That makes more sense to me.
And we would.
I'm an idea man, Michael.
Yeah. And you know who wins? Us, the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Randy, which one of those lineups impresses you more? Would you rather see Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then a crossover? Or would you rather see Justice League, Man of Steel 2, and standalone Batman movie? Which one gets your wood going better? Because I know you're full of sugar and you're going to have something fun to say. Hit me.
Actually, my comment's not that fun. I'm just going to go the Marvel route.
Yeah!
Marvel!
Proven,
all right.
proven track record.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, that was easy. Well, Randy, I want to get you fired up. I want to hear your voice talking more. Why don't you tell us about some fun 80s stuff coming full circle in 2014?
Yeah, I got some retro shit for you guys this week. So we're gonna be taking a little trip back to the 80s. So how long have we been hearing about the possibility of a Bill and Ted 3? Quite a while now, right?
Forever.
Since Bogus.
Seriously. But here's some good news. The hardest thing about making any movie at all is getting the money to make it. And Bill and Ted 3 has been they've received their financing. It has been all set and ready to go. What they're working on now is finishing and perfecting the script. And we read a little bit of an update from Alex Winter, who is Bill of the Bill and Ted duo there, and he's super excited about it and kind of gave a little bit of insight as to what the story is going to be. It is in no way a reboot of the franchise. It's basically catching up with them 20 or so years later. So there they are. They're in their 40s. They were supposed to have done something grand and wonderful with their life that would pretty much save the earth, but there are a bunch of guys without a whole lot of direction that really haven't fulfilled that prophecy yet. So we're going to kind of get to pick up where that kind of storyline leaves off. So that should be kind of interesting. But they're still a little ways out from actual production. And Mr. Winter is quoted as saying that he's actually kind of bummed that the public found out about all of the proceedings that they're doing right now, preparing for the film as early as they did, because it's not going to be a case of instant gratification, and they're not going to be able to quickly turn around and just pop out a film. It is still a lot of time in the works and probably a couple years out, and that's just kind of a bummer for the fans that are super anxious for it, like now, today. So we're talking about it now. By the time we talk about it next, when we get some more information, we probably will have forgotten about it already, again, as it tends to happen with that movie. But there is more news, and it is trudging forward, and it does look like it's going to be a thing. And I am excited about that.
They need diplomatic immunity guy to come back.
There you
go. Is he still alive?
Who?
The guy the villain from Bogus Journey. Yeah, the Lethal Weapon 2 guy and the Ducks guy.
I don't know.
Hans?
Hans?
Wear six socks, Gordon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I both love him and hate him. he's both a great father figure and a despicable villain.
Yeah.
The man has range.
Yeah, I don't think he's alive.
Oh, that's too bad.
I can't.
I bet you. I bet when you look him up, you'll be surprised.
He's alive.
Yes. So hopefully he's in part three.
Joss Ackland.
Sure, I buy that. His name.
That is his name.
Nah, I believe you wholeheartedly. But speaking of great comedic villains, one of the best ones was in Real Genius, wasn't it, Randy?
It was, and we here at Geek Legacy are gigantic fans of Real Genius. In fact, we had the wonderful pleasure of meeting Mr. Gabriel Jarrett, who played Mitch in the original movie at last year's Geeky Awards, and he was an absolute blast to talk to, and he seemed so really cool and down to earth, and like such a geeky guy like the rest of us, and it made us love him even more. So here's the thing. We're going to take this 30-year-old property and try to turn it into a TV series. What do you guys think about that? It's going to be a single camera, like workplace type comedy. It's supposed to have the same character dynamics between Val Kilmer's Chris Knight character and the Mitch character, but we don't know for sure if they're going to be the same characters. They're just going to have that same dynamic. For me, a lot of what made Real Genius as beautiful as it was, I mean, yeah, that was a great kind of comic duo with those two, but the bad guys, your William Atherton and your fucking guy that played Kent. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But those two, I just absolutely, I love that. And truly, it is one of the reasons that that movie is great is the fact that it's kind of a really fun ensemble of a cast, you know. So unless they can, in my opinion, unless they can recreate that magic in the TV format, I don't think it's going to necessarily measure up to the movie. I want to stay cautiously optimistic about it, but man, that is messing with something that is close to my heart personally. What do you guys think about it?
Well, Atherton's passed away, right?
Is he? I thought he was just old. I didn't think he had gone yet. I can fact check that for you real quick.
How sad is it? Like, but half our podcast is like, is this guy dead? Is this guy dead?
I don't think he's dead.
I don't think he is either, because he was in something fairly recently.
Walter Peck, you talking about that? He's on fucking Defiance, and he was in Castle not too long ago. He was
perfect. Put him in the show, and I'll watch it.
He was on Lost. Remember, he was the principal?
Yeah. Put him on the show, I'll watch it.
He is 67 years old. He is not dead.
Perfect. I love it. We're thinking people are dead, and they're all alive, and I love it.
Who is he? What was this? Thornburg. That's his name in Die Hard.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm excited. I will definitely watch the pilot and give it a chance.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it'll destroy it.
And you know what? Who knows? Maybe I will be eating my words come time for the pilot to air. So it's Adam Sandler's Happy Madison production company, along with Sony TV and NBC, coming together to make this bit of television magic. So let's all keep our fingers crossed and cross the streams and touch dicks, whatever we have to do to make some good luck to make this thing work.
Dude, done. Consider it done, man. Speaking of touching dicks, did you see a movie this weekend, Amanda?
speaking of touching dicks, I didn't talk about Shatner yet.
Let me start that again. Speaking of touching dicks, you got any other news, Randy?
I do, and it's actually exactly about touching dicks. We're talking about Shatner again. Now, last week I had mentioned that there's a possibility that he might be coming around. Rumors were heavy that he might be coming back for Star Trek III, and they were somehow going to work him into the storyline. And Shatner had gone online officially as saying he had not been contacted, and all of it's just rumors and hype and all that stuff. Well, lo and behold, he was – I don't remember what convention he was at, but he was up on stage, and people were asking him questions. Wizard World. There you go. Thank you, sir. Fact-checking motherfucker. So – anyway, he's talking about Star Trek III, and yes, he has been contacted. He would be delighted to do it. He doesn't know anything about how his role would be worked into it. But in the process, we also learned a little bit about what his role was supposed to be at the end of the first Star Trek, the 2009 Star Trek. It was actually going to be essentially like a video birthday card kind of message. And it would have been something that old Shatner gave to old Spock, and old Spock was going to show it to young Spock to say, hey, see this fucker? he and I are hanging out for the next 50 years. He's your best friend. You better get used to the idea of it. And it was going to run over the end credits. It was going to be old Shatner just probably reciting a gigantic love poem that he wrote himself about Spock. And yeah, that was going to be his cameo. It was going to be a recording. That was going to be something that would easily fit into the canon, and it wouldn't require him to somehow miraculously be alive after the events of Star Trek Generations, where we see him die on screen. So it wasn't going to be canon breaking. But now I have no idea how they're going to work his cameo into part three. I'm still super psyched to see how they're going to do it and just to see it happen again, especially if he's actually sharing screen time with Leonard Nimoy, standing side by side in their old... I would love it if they were in their old red Star Trek uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, but... That's the bit of Shatner news that we got. So a little bit of a confirmation that he is being tapped for involvement in part three, but we still don't know if it's going to happen. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. The movie is not done until it is out in the theaters.
Yeah. So and it's kind of cool that Abrams is the one who reached out to him and not Roberto Orci. It just shows that Abrams, even though he's busy in a galaxy far, far away doing episode 7, that he still is involved at some level with Star Trek. And
he's not apparently holding any kind of grudges against Shatner, because apparently the two of them were involved in some sort of war, if the rumors are to be believed.
Mm-hmm. I believe all rumors.
I know, and that's why we love you.
Hmm. Well, cool. Speaking of love, how about that Maze Runner there, Amanda? Not my strongest segue of the night, I'm not going to lie.
So I went to see the Maze Runner this past weekend. And I actually haven't read the books, so I was actually thinking I would rather see it without having read the books first, because usually I'm disappointed by movies based on books. So I really enjoyed The Maze Runner. I thought it was a very fun and entertaining movie, has a very good premise that kept me interested and guessing throughout the whole movie. And so it actually made me want to read the book. So I did start reading the book this weekend, and I do not like it. I am recommending that nobody read the book. Just see the movie. The movie rearranges a lot of the events of the book in a very interesting way. I would say that at least 50 to 60% of the movie occurs in the first 50 pages of The Maze Runner.
Wow.
It's incredible. So as I was reading it, I thought, what the hell is going to happen in the rest of this book? Because this is like almost the whole movie already. And I think that the movie also made a lot of the characters more subtle and kind of deepened their relationships a little bit more and made them more complicated people than the book did. I feel like the book was very the author. Oh God, what's his name?
James something.
Fenimore Cooper.
James Dashner. I felt like Dashner was trying a little... Well, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but I felt like he was trying to write his own version of Lord of the Flies. And he just sort of... Like, maybe he used that as a crutch. And so then all of the characters are just these archetypes. And the movie, I felt... fleshed them out more and actually gave them more depth than they have in the book, surprisingly. Wow. but I also haven't finished the book. However, talking to a friend of mine who has read The Maze Runner, she does not believe that The Maze Runner is a very good book either. And apparently subsequent books are much better. So I'm really looking forward to being done with The Maze Runner so that I can continue on to the next two books.
Scorched Trials?
Yeah, the Scorched Trials.
Which is going to come out next September. They already set the release date for it.
Nice. So yeah, go see The Maze Runner. It's really good.
Oh, cool.
Lots of hot guys, too.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Talk to you guys later.
That's keyword there.
If it had Statham, we would have already been there.
Oh, well, I mean, they're also supposed to be, like, teenage boys, but you know they're in their 20s.
Well, yeah.
So it's all legal. It's all on the up now.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are older than they appear to be, you got a Geek of the Week for us, Amanda?
Wait, what? That wasn't the segue we were going to use.
It worked.
We already used touching dicks.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of books, I have a fantastic Geek of the Week for you guys. Mr. Menahem Asher Silva Vargas.
Sounds made up.
He is a resident of Mexico City. He now holds the world record for the largest Harry Potter collection in the world. Mm-hmm. According to Guinness World Records, he snagged the number one spot away from the last person who had 807 items. At his collection is 3,097 items related to Harry Potter.
It's a lot.
And he spent 15 years gathering all this shit, and it completely fills two rooms in his house. I'm surprised that many items that it's only two rooms, but there must be like a lot of little things like
the jelly beans.
Barty. Yeah, like small action figures and cards and stuff. Yeah, and the picture is like one item. Wall is just it looks like a toy store. Like one wall just has like action figures hanging.
Does it look like Zonko's?
Yeah, it's totally Zonko's.
Is that the name of the place? I forget.
Yes, it is. So yeah,
I'm gonna go on a limb and say the article doesn't mention a wife.
Congratulations, Mr. Silva Vargas.
You are our Geek of the Week.
You are our Geek of the Week. And no, it does not mention a wife. Wait, but there is a woman in one of the pictures. Oh, wait. It's the woman from Guinness World Records.
It's like, oh, wait, no. It's a real doll.
Presenting him with the certificate.
It's a Hermione mannequin with movie-worn outfit.
Aww.
So, yeah.
I heard worn out, and it took me a second to realize you said, oh, movie worn outfit. It would be funny if it was a doll that was worn out.
Aww.
I was keeping it clean, Randy.
I'm practicing with spells, that's all.
Of course.
Yeah. If you want to be gross, Randy, you'd be gross on your list. Let's hear it.
Do you think he's Expelliarmus when he ejaculates?
That'd be kind of cool. Accio Kleenex.
There we go. I like it. Speaking of Harry Potter, I've been watching them over the last 2 weekends, and I was telling you guys that I found like a little flaw in the show, and that, of course, is when Sirius Black is on the lam, why don't the Ministry just send him an owl and follow it, since owls are known to find
find anybody.
Yeah.
I have to imagine there's some sort of spell that he can cast that would prevent himself from being found by an owl.
Yeah, it's like, I wish that no one were to find me unless it's an owl sent by Harry Potter.
Unless it's Hedwig.
Yeah. It's like a list.
He's the only one with the updated address on the GPS.
Yeah, he's got a nightclub bouncer out there. You ain't on the list, stuff.
Does he always send Hedwig, or...
Yeah. He sends Hedwig.
So if he always sends Hedwig, maybe that's the thing. Like, maybe it's just, like, Hedwig is privy, and not any owl could find Sirius. But, I don't know. But other members of the Order of Phoenix are able to contact him somehow.
Yeah, because he's going crazy, because all he's doing is, like, reading those, like, letters over and over at one point.
Uh-huh. So. And he has to, like, steal newspapers just to get reading material.
I think it's a fantastic observation. I think you just ruined Harry Potter for me, Justin. Yeah.
And then also
split it right down the center.
And then taking it a step further was sending an owl to find Voldemort. Send him a little cease and desist with all evil activity letter. And that would prove that he was still out there and existed. But Cornelius Fudge...
He's like, well, you don't believe me?
He's not really a go-getter. He's in denial. And that's kind of scary. I was thinking about this yesterday, too, is that people, denial, I guess it's a real thing. Like, people can just convince themselves that that is not the way things are. And that, to me, that's just absurd. And then, you know, that of course, can go into, spills into real life when you're talking about things like domestic violence and things of that nature. Or even, like, something as simple as, like, not simple, but it could be alcoholism, you know, drug abuse, whatever. Denial is a very powerful thing. And that's just amazing to me that it can affect our brains as much as it does.
Yeah. Head in the sand.
Mm-hmm. My head doesn't fit in the sand.
Screw it up.
Idiots.
Speaking of screwing up, hey, Justin, you got a fun game?
Yes, I do have a game for this week. It's called Let's Play Doctor. Kind of naughty, but not really. It just turns out, I got to thinking that there are a lot of doctors in some of our favorite movies and TV shows. So I thought, why not make a game based on some of these doctors that are so famous? And what I'm going to do is just kind of drop some hints on some of these doctors, and you just got to tell me the name of the doctor. Don't tell me the name of the show. Don't tell me the name of the movie. I want the doctor's name. Fair enough? The character's name, the fictional doctor, not the actor that played the doctor.
Okay.
You guys got it?
Like,
so if I said this doctor is famous for euthanizing his patients, that would be Kevorkian, right? Okay. Just like that. But these will be fictional doctors.
Fictional doctors.
Fictional characters. Are you ready?
Heck yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. As usual rules, if you guess wrong, you are done for that turn. Cool?
Cool. All
right, here we go. All right. I should. I know, this is a long one. All right, so I should warn you, you're going to see all sorts of things. Ghosts from the past, aliens from the future, the day the Earth died.
Doctor Who.
Very good. Doctor Who.
Oh, this was the first question?
Yes.
Oh.
I said you guys
are hosting the game still.
No, I said, are you guys ready?
I know, and then you're like, I got to warn you.
Yeah, yeah. That was Doctor Who. Yeah, the day the Earth died, no. Ball of flame, it won't be quiet, it won't be safe, and it won't be calm. So I'll tell you what it will be. The trip of a lifetime. Doctor Who. All right. At one point, this doctor believed X never marks the spot.
Jones.
Dr. Jones.
I heard David first. Sorry. Randy.
I guess I should just skip the doctor when I'm mentioning their name.
That's true.
It comes in with the territory. I guess it's assumed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I say this doctor, so I'm kind of giving it to you.
That's fine.
This doctor has man boobs and insists on going shirtless while robbing banks and fighting our favorite web crawler. Dr. Octopus. David is correct.
Dang. Can't believe you got that so fast.
Man boobs.
I didn't even hear him answer.
Anytime we've ever talked about Dr. Octopus, the first thing out of Justin's mouth
is man boobs.
Poor Alfred Molina.
We share a lot in common. I could be Doc Ock if I wanted to be for Halloween.
Should.
I can't take my shirt off. Unless, you know, it's sexy time.
And even then, Lynn tells you to keep it on.
I am so fast to take off my clothes, you don't even know, dude. It's like... It's like reverse bat suit going down the pole. I slide down a pole, like, and I'm instantly naked. I got that shit down. Sorry, no, sweetheart. That was a bad one. Anyway. This doctor thought it would be a great idea to reanimate a corpse using parts from different cadavers.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Very good, Amanda.
Yes.
Dr. Frankenstein. Frankenstein. So, Amanda has 2, David has 2. Randy is close with 0.
But no cigar.
Alright. This doctor has one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their frickin' heads. Dr. Evil is correct. David with 3 now. Oh my stars and garters. This doctor has evolved into a blue mutant with super strength.
Dr. Manhattan.
Nope.
Damn it.
Beast.
Correct. I'll take Beast. It is Dr. Dr. Henry McCoy, a.k.a. Hank McCoy.
Damn it.
Randy with 1. And it's
you gotta admit, that could have been Dr. Manhattan.
Well, it wasn't what I was going for.
But it could have been.
He didn't mention giant blue penis.
But he did say,
powers. Is Dr. Manhattan, has he ever said, "Oh, my stars and garters"?
Is that something that Beast says?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was kind of the first clue. It's all good. All right. This doctor uses a variety of drugs and psychological tactics.
House!
Exploit
brain,
fears and phobias of his adversaries. I like where your head's at, Amanda, but it is in fact Dr. Crane, a.k.a. Scarecrow.
Darn.
David with four. All right.
Shoot, I just used my whole ace in the hole.
Here we go. Law enforcement officers were instructed to do a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, Kimble. Outhouse, and doghouse for this Kimble. Doctor. Very good.
Who?
Dr. Richard Kimble.
Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimble. Go get him.
No, I've never seen The Fugitive.
Oh my god, it was awesome.
I didn't even know he was a doctor.
Yes. He was a surgeon.
Still got two in the chamber. I'm waiting.
This doctor will be your Huckleberry.
Holiday.
Very good. Doc Holiday.
Who?
Doc Holiday.
Doc Holiday.
From Tombstone. He always says, I'm your Huckleberry. David, killing it.
I haven't seen Tombstone in a really long time.
Oh my god. You gotta watch all these movies all the time so you're ready for the game.
I don't watch movies.
Well, start. Quit reading those fucking dumb books. And watch a movie every once in a while. No one reads. This is 2014. All right. You might get this one, Amanda. This doctor was able to fix an incorrect translation that had previously read Door to Heaven, when in actual it read Stargate.
Oh my god! Fuck! What's his name?
Jackson?
Yes!
Very
god
good!
Damn it.
Friendly. That was.
I was thinking of the actor who played him on the TV show.
Ultron.
I was like,
Daniel Jackson.
It's not Michael Shanks. It's not Michael Shanks.
Randy is correct.
Damn it.
Okay. Well, final question and the golden snitch.
So whoever gets this one wins. Gets 150 points and wins.
Yep. That's all answer blind.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Everyone pick a doctor right now.
Brown.
No.
Yeah, that was mine, too.
All right. This doctor once ate a man's liver with some fava beans and a...
Hannibal!
Lecter.
Yeah, I heard Amanda first. Yeah,
yes! Yeah.
Amanda catches...
I win!
Bitch. And is the youngest seeker Hogwarts has ever had. Youngest seeker of the century, which isn't too impressive since it's 2001 when the movie came out.
Yeah.
The wizard years.
But it takes place in the 80s, though.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
Harry,
I don't have...
Harry was born in 1980.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, we're the same age. Holy shit. I've done way more with my life.
Oh, because of the book.
Yeah.
It was the book first, I guess. Sorry.
They use, like, acorns for money.
There's no actual clues in the book that tell you what year it is, right? It's just J.K. Rowling saying later.
Mm.
Right?
He's 11 when the first book comes out.
Was that in 1991?
Yeah.
Oh. No, it wasn't.
No.
No, wait. Oh, wait, maybe it was.
Book 4 was in 2002.
Maybe one of our loyal listeners could tell us when Harry Potter was born.
Kit Kat 22.
Or Craig from PA.
Craig from PA. 97 was Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay.
FYI.
97? Man, so she was cranking those books out fast.
She'll mess around.
Unlike the first three other author.
Are you sure that's right?
I mean, the fine folks at Wikipedia would never lie to us. Yeah, so from between 97 and 2007 is when the Harry Potter series. So it took her 10 years to write all 7 books.
Man, that's fast.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
And the brand, Harry Potter brand, is worth $15 billion.
Wow.
Does anyone have any shout-outs or anything? I got one. But you guys got anything special? Anyone you want to say hi to? Say thanks? It was great seeing you.
Nope. Just the usual. But you can do that. You can do that.
Sure. Well, before we get into the usual ones, I wanted to send a special shout-out to one of our contributors, Jess Hicks. She got a cool job at bloodydisgusting.com, and you can read her bloody disgusting shit over there because she's bloody disgusting. But super proud of her. Glad that she's able to do that, and hope her all the best.
Oh.
Or that she falls on her face and they say, go get lost, and she comes back to us. Either way is cool with me.
We will welcome her with open arms.
Heck yeah.
Even if she is disgusting. What does that mean? She doesn't wash her hands so to go in the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. It's just then on.
How does that work?
Well, it's bloody disgusting, so it's period time.
They're dirty people.
Yeah, it's just it's just gross down there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the normal people, we would definitely want to thank our good buddies Tony Tolato over at SciFiTalk.com and Tim Byers at TheFullBleed.net for always being so great and supporting and backlinking us and creating such a great podcast with our very own Justin Cavender on their Everything Geek Monthly podcast.
Man, I'm on course, that too, huh?
Yeah, you're all over that internet. And then, of course, Andy B., who does the Flash podcast. Pretty soon, The Flash will actually be a show, and the podcast can officially begin. He's been doing a lot of Season Zero stuff, where he's been going through The Flash's back catalog of rogues and scoundrels and other characters who might show up. But with the CW show actually coming on, you can look forward to an actual show pretty soon. An actual recap show, I should say. But aside from those folks, make sure to listen to all the fine podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We have a Pixelated podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James, where they do an absolute amazing job telling us everything we want to know about video games. And that drops usually every Friday. There was a bit of a delay this week, but Friday seems to be the day they're going to do it. And then we have the Comic Corner with the Mighty Jer, Jeff Muller, and Tyler Waterman. And that is every other week. But they are working on making that a weekly show. So if you want more Comic Corner podcasts, you know, hit up at the Mighty Jer and at BatmanInkVP and tell them, hey, want more Comic Corner. And as always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and at Geek Legacy, and geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thanks.